You are listening to the Applied Research Podcast Series, featuring interviews with authors exploring key research topics by VONET, the National Online Resource Center on Violence Against Women, in partnership with the National Sexual Violence Resource Center and the Minnesota Center Against Violence and Abuse.
Welcome to the VONET Applied Research Podcast. It's June 2012, and I'm Jennifer Witt, the Associate Director of the Minnesota Center Against Violence and Abuse at the University of Minnesota School of Social Work. In this podcast, I will be talking to Dr. Katrina Scott, author of the VONET documents Parenting Interventions for Men Who Batter and Practical Considerations for Parenting Interventions for Men Who Batter. Dr. Scott is an associate professor and clinical psychologist in the Department of Human Development and Applied Psychology of the University of Toronto and the Canada Research Chair in Family Violence Prevention and Treatment. Dr. Scott has authored numerous articles and book chapters on the development of violent relationships, the efficacy of services to male batterers, the effect of abuse and trauma on children, and on empirically and ethically sound policies for working with abuse perpetrators. Dr. Scott is also the lead investigator on the Caring Dads, Helping Fathers Value Their Children program for fathers who have been abusive in their families. This program has had significant international impact and has been adopted for use in the United Kingdom, Sweden, Germany, Japan, United States, Ireland, and Hong Kong. Dr. Scott, welcome to this podcast.
So first off, can you please provide us with a quick overview of the history of work with men who batter?
So I'll tell you just one quick story about how the Caring Dads program got started, because it was really a clinical realization for us. Myself and some of the people I was working with were doing both work with batterers and work with child victims. And so what was clear is that when we were working with child victims, we were working with kids and moms. And when we were working with men, we were working around the relationship with their intimate partners, but not the relationship with their child. So that disconnect just became really apparent. So in the late 1990s, early 2000s, us and some other groups around the country started to really shift our thinking about dads and about batterers and thinking about the fact that these men are also fathers.
Can you tell us a little bit about, in general, what current practice looks like now around parenting interventions with men who batter?
So fortunately, since about the early 1990s, there's been the growth in the movement of fathering involvement initiatives. So this is not targeted towards men who batter specifically, but towards fathers in general, thinking about fathers as role models to their children, thinking about fathers as positively involved in their children, and trying to increase men's positive involvement and engagement with their children overall. Many communities now have programs or have access to sort of primary prevention programs or to media that supports positive father-child relationships, and many have specific father-child sort of group or intervention programs. Only a few, however, have developed interventions that are specific for men who batter. And the issues in terms of promoting father involvement for those men are different than for the general population. One of the ways that they're different is that the men who we're trying to engage, who are batterers, often, you know, the profile of motivation or how they see themselves differ. So often men who batter see themselves as, in fact, good and involved and as fathers, and see fathering as one of the most important things they're doing and one of the things they're doing best. And so for them, it's often a difficult conversation and a bit of a time-consuming conversation to help move them to a place where they can understand that, yes, fathering is very important to them, but, yes, there are also things they're doing with their child that is harmful, in particular exposure to domestic violence, but also other aspects of the relationship with men and children in violent families tend to be problematic. It's about starting a conversation that helps men be able to take a second look at their fathering. Mm-hmm. Another way that we have to think about this differently is that when many fathering involvement programs really focus on the relationship between dads and kids, but for men who've been violent in their families and violent towards their kids' moms, another focus has to be the focus on fathers' relationships with mothers around parenting. So what we say in the Caring Dads program is you can't be a good dad and an abusive or disrespectful partner. The other thing is to think about the context in which that intervention is occurring. So when men are referred to a program, a parenting program for men who batter, at least for us, it's because there's a concern about his parenting due to exposure of the child to domestic violence, or, as often the case, not only exposure to domestic violence, but also some concerns about his parenting of his child. Maybe that would be overreactivity and discipline. It also could be a distant or neglectful relationship between fathers and children, which is also very common. Mm-hmm. And when we're dealing with families where there has been risk identified, one of the principles that I think is very important is that we need to follow through. So our principle is men's involvement in intervention should have the potential to benefit children, regardless of whether or not men change. So that means that if men are referred and attend a session and drop out, we should do something about it. We should be going back to the referrers, talking about what that means, talking about the potential risk to the child or to the partner as a result of that dropout, and thinking about how we need to follow through. We need to be connected to other people involved in men's family, again, to plan for and think about how we're going to ensure that the victims of men's abuse benefit, regardless of where he's at. Now, that's been a philosophy underlying particularly the Duluth model of batterer intervention, but it's a hard one to put into practice.
You're talking about the Caring Dads program, which is a program that you've developed. What are some innovations that have come out of the Caring Dads program or other programs that are similar?
For one, I think there's a real shift and understanding around engagement and how to engage and keep men interested and motivated in terms of working on their behavior. Another part is thinking about the relationships that we have with service providers for children's families. So many batterer intervention programs have very close relationships with the justice system, and some of them have other relationships with the community as well and with substance abuse programs. But few of the batterer programs have really strong relationships with our child protection services or with our child and family mental health services. So when we start to think about dads as fathers and dads as parts of families, another innovation is thinking about the kinds of connections we have to professionals who are working with the children and families of men that are in our groups so that we can all work together to make sure that everybody in the family is safe and that he's safe. I guess that's another thing that we talk about, thinking about working with men to make sure that they're safe around their children and family. So it's a kind of flip side of safety planning, not safety planning to ensure he's safe in himself, but safety planning to ensure that he's safe to the people around him. And when we help men to recognize that they're at risk of being harmful, the next step then is to help them plan to make sure that if they're in a situation where they anticipate that they may have a lot of strong feelings or may feel the need to start controlling people around them, how can we help them plan to make sure that doesn't happen? One of the issues we sometimes do safety planning about is being embarrassed by their children in public. Mm. So some men find it difficult to be in public with their children when they're behaving in poor ways. And in some cases, that leads to some parenting behavior that's pretty harmful to the child. So we can work with our men to think about how they're going to handle that situation differently. What are they going to do to plan for that situation? How are they going to avoid the situation if possible? Or how they're going to react in a way that's not harmful to their children?
So you've talked a little bit about the effectiveness and the efficacy of some of these parenting interventions. Can you talk a little bit about what some of the main themes that emerge from the research on parenting interventions with men who batter?
There's been quite a bit of research on parenting programs in general, and there's been some research on fathering programs. And so one of the things that I tried to do here was pull together the lessons from the parenting programs and lessons from fathering programs so that we can make the work that we do with men who batter as strong as possible. So some of those lessons are the value of combining some individual work with some group work. So group work is particularly strong at changing people's attitudes and ingrained beliefs. individual work is really powerful for identifying individual patterns of abuse and change that need to happen. And so the research on both fathering and parenting programs suggests that combining those two modalities leads to the most effective outcomes. Another lesson that comes from both of those groups is that our interventions have to be long enough to make a difference. Now, there's no magic bullet length that has been identified in the literature, but certainly programs that are less than 2 or 3 months don't have the chance to have the impact that they need on families that are at higher risk. Another message is the importance of thinking about how to engage fathers when we're thinking about parenting programs in general, which have been well developed, but usually with a specific focus on moms and kids, inadvertently or advertently. So we need to think a little bit about how those programs can shift to really engage men and to engage fathers and their children in a way that is father-friendly and appropriate and culturally appropriate as well. And the other message coming from both is the value of having a targeted, replicable curriculum with facilitators who are trained and supervised so that they can continue to develop their skills and practice.
Why is this type of research, parenting and fatherhood work with men who batter, why is this so important?
One of the dangers or the potential dangers of fatherhood work is for it to sort of eclipse or overshadow the very important work that's being done to prevent and to address violence in men's intimate partner relationships. But both issues are critically important. So we need to be thinking about how do we improve men's relationship with their kids alongside of how we can ensure safe, respectful, non-abusive intimate partner relationships. How can we intervene best in this family? You know, who's most at risk at this particular period of time? Where can we get the most change started? And where can we work to make sure that we maximize our potential safety for all the victims of men's violence? So the other part that we need to think of in research and policy and practice is doing a better job at getting women's perspectives and mothers' perspectives on men's involvement in parenting programs. We've got a little bit of research on that and some reason to think that there's value, but we do need to get more understanding of women's experience of that and women's views on these kinds of interventions. I think that it's important that in the field we continue to do as much high-quality research as we possibly can, that we continue to engage in the research community around what we're finding that works and doesn't work, and that we continue to grow our effective responses and to make innovations and changes that make sense for our clients and for our families.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Dr. Scott, and thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you.
Applied research papers and podcasts in this audio series can be found at www.vawnet.org. VAWNET is a project of the National Resource Center on Domestic Violence, supported by a cooperative agreement with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Music by Beulah.